Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you guys are having a great one. Hope you had a fantastic weekend, fantastic holiday. It's rock and roll. What's going on, man?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
Dude, I'm just pumped up. Glad to be alive.
My new headphone hiding spot seems to have worked.
That's good. That's a good way to start
the
day.
It was not. My headphones were exactly where I left them, which is that's a new thing. That's a new thing in this studio.
That's a first.
So since we've been here, that's the first time. So I've got it. I've kind of got a system figured out. We'll see how long it lasts, but I'm excited about it.
Okay.
What about you? What was Thanksgiving like at the Fowler House? Did you guys do American Thanksgiving or Canadian Thanksgiving?
Well, Canadian Thanksgiving is actually in October.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we did do a little Canada thing last night. We went to the Maple Leaf for the Grey Cup, which was pretty cool. Packed with Canadians. Good times.
Really?
But, no, we did.
Was the game good or
yeah,
stupid?
It actually was pretty good. It would have been a hell of a lot better if Edmonton had gotten one more half point. But what are you going to do? But, no, it's good times, man. We did Thanksgiving with my family. And
when you watch a game like that at the Canadian bar, do they leave one TV for Broncos Patriots, or do they just not care about it all?
No, they had TVs that had the other games on, like because we were there for the end of the Steelers game.
Okay.
And, yeah, so I was watching that, too. But
so much football to discuss.
Oh, my goodness. College football, NFL, Texans, my goodness. It's a totally different team.
I wouldn't have. Listen, you know, I was the first one to crap on this team when they were playing like crap. I'll give them their due. They're playing very well. Looks like a completely different team, mostly because the defense looks like a completely different team. And they're starting to play kind of like what we thought they would do at the beginning of the season, where they didn't have to be fantastic on offense. And I don't know that they were fantastic on offense yesterday, but they were so good on defense that being okay on offense is plenty.
And that's kind of what they have to do. And we said it all along, if they're going to be a successful team, they're going to have to play elite defense and good enough offense. And I think that's what we're seeing. And I'll give the offense some credit, because the time of possession, especially early in the game, they kept Drew Brees off the field, and that let the defense actually get after him.
Let's also keep in mind, Drew Brees is not Drew Brees anymore.
No.
Or else Sean Payton is not Sean Payton, but Drew Brees was missing on a lot of throws, and he just seemed
happy
scared.
Feet. He had happy feet, which I'm not used to seeing from him.
Yeah, it was very strange, and the play calling seems just it's
very pedestrian.
Yes, not New Orleans. Like, there was one drive where they threw three screen passes to the right in a row.
Yeah.
And then punted. It was the strangest, just most awkward play calling, and really, I don't want to blame it all on the play calling, because a lot of it was Drew Brees checking down.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees does not have the confidence in his arm that he once had. And everybody's talking about, is Peyton Manning done for? You know, nobody's talking about, is Drew Brees done for? And I think Drew Brees, at least what I'm seeing out of Drew Brees, I know Peyton Manning's hurt. I think Drew Brees is closer to done than Peyton Manning is.
I think he may be hurt too, though.
I think that's the case.
We saw it a little bit last year, where you know he was having shoulder problems and he wasn't as effective. I think the same thing. I think he's got to be hurt, or he's just done.
Okay, well, here's the difference between Peyton Manning going out there and playing hurt and Drew Brees going out there and playing hurt. The Broncos actually are playing for something. The Saints team is done. If he's hurt, sit down, bro.
Yeah.
Because you're not making this team better right now.
But it was interesting that I couldn't believe first time in 46 games he was held without a touchdown pass.
First time, was it held without a touchdown pass, or was it the first time that the Saints haven't scored a touchdown?
No, that he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass.
Okay, because I know it's the first time since week 16 of 2005, which predates Brees, that the Saints have gone without scoring a touchdown in a game.
And so, it's funny because when we were talking about the Bengals game, it's like, oh, they're not going to hold teams to 6 points all the time. Well, guess what? They did it again. And, you know, they didn't quite do it as impressively as some of the other games in terms of forcing turnovers. They got the one interception. And that's one thing that's been helping them throughout this stretch. They did it against the Jets where they got too late that sealed the game. But the fact that they were able to get after the quarterback, get him off the field. And the other thing I thought was weird, just from a Saints perspective, why Mark Ingram wasn't getting the ball more.
Yeah.
He was effective.
Well, they fell behind early, and I think they...
And that was part of it, but that's how they were sort of starting to get back into the game,
yeah.
Was giving the ball to him. But, you know, just another... I did not see this coming, and I have to say I'm pleasantly surprised by how well they're playing. And we were talking about them before the season. That's what we were saying they would have to be.
Yep.
Great on defense.
And you know what? Brian Hoyer, very efficient. I mean, he had the one pick that was just, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, that was bad.
But, you know, and
that's the kind of decision you just can't make.
Yeah, I mean, that's a ball that he should have thrown away, and he wanted to make something happen. And he was kind of in a zone at that time, so he felt like everything was going his way, so he was just going to let it go. And it was a bad call. But he only took one sack on the day. 21 of 27. And again, you're not seeing like cartoon numbers, but with this offense, you're not going to get cartoon numbers. You just have to play good enough defense, or you have to play good enough on offense and let the defense play its ass off, basically, and you're going to have a chance to win some games. That's what they did yesterday. You talked about Mark Ingram not getting the ball enough. I'm going to go ahead and bang the table. Can you hear that on the...
A little bit, well, yeah.
How do you bang... John, how's that coming through, banging the table?
I can hear it.
Okay. I'm going to bang the table for Akeem Hunt to get the ball more. That guy is explosive, and he only touched it a couple times yesterday, but every time he touched it, he was going somewhere.
Yeah, that was a good pickup for them. And really, they got something out of just about everybody who ran the ball. And when you run for 167 yards, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Yeah.
But let's keep in mind, this is the Saints defense that just had to fire its defensive coordinator. Now, I thought they looked better than they have in some of these other games defensively, but they're still overmatched. And Texans took advantage of it, and they've been, and I'll give the Texans some other credit, they've been a lot more creative on offense.
Yeah.
And some of the play calling early that I was bitching about, they've done a good job of getting away from running the same damn plays in the same situation, and I think that's helped them with possession. It's helped them keep the ball. It's helped extend drives. And suddenly you look up at 6-5, and it's not just, you know, not just the division race they're in now. It's one of those, if the season ended today things, they would be one of the wild cards.
Right.
But it's all...
Now, let's keep in mind, and I've already done some going back and forth with people on this. Doesn't mean the Texans are good.
No. Let's not...
The Texans are playing well. I'm still not convinced that they're good. Just like I'm not... I mean, the Colts have won three in a row, which we're not talking about. I don't think they're good either. They're on a hot streak. I don't know that it's going to... But the reality is, how many good teams are in the AFC? The Patriots are good. The Broncos
are good.
The Bengals are pretty good. Besides that, I mean, three other teams are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be good to make the playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think the Chiefs are playing really good football right now, too.
The Chiefs are.
And
it's hard for me to buy into a team that started the season 1-5 and lost their best player. But they continue to get it done. So I guess I have to throw them in there as well.
Well, when you don't throw any interceptions ever,
yeah, that
and
helps.
You play good defense, then you're going to win a lot of football games.
I think this game, you know, we've talked a lot about how, you know, the next game at Buffalo, we've talked about how important the games upcoming for the Texans are. And obviously, if you're in a playoff chase, every game's important. I think this game at Buffalo and the game that's kind of sandwiched in the middle at the Colts,
yeah,
those are the two most important games because those are the only two games you're playing against your peers. You know, those are the teams that you're not playing a team that's way crappier than you, and you're not playing a team that's way better than you. Granted, you have to win the Titans and Jaguars games if you're going to make the playoffs. But no one's expecting you to beat the Patriots. So if you lose, it's not the end of the world. But those two games at Buffalo and at Indy, those are against teams that are, you know, they're sort of on your level.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to be a playoff team, that's the kind of teams that you're going to have to beat.
Well, and let's be honest, you're going to have to beat one of them because if you're going to be a wild card, you need to beat the Bills. If you're going to win the division, you need to beat the Colts in Indy. I mean, you're going to have to win at least one of those games.
And earlier in the season, The rest of the times that they've played teams like that, their last two that they've played against teams like that, the Jets and Bengals, they won. You know, that's good. You're beating teams that are on your level.
Right. Although I think the Bengals are better than they are. They're just winning, they're not playing.
You're right. The games before that, though, where you've played a team on your level, at Dolphins, blown out.
Not so good.
Colts, lost. At Falcons, blown out. I won't count the Panthers because I think they're above your level, but the Chiefs, a loss. So they're finally starting to play like they belong with that middle tier of teams. They belong in the conversation. And I think that's a credit, man, because I think it's a credit to this team and to Bill O'Brien, because a lot of guys would have just quit. I mean, this season was going so horribly wrong and so different than they had to have imagined it was going to go. And to turn a 2-5 start into a 6-5 record through 11, I mean, it's damn near a miracle. And that's a lot of that is just on guys saying, you know what, we're supposed to be better in this than this, and just playing better. And I think it was nice for them to have this, at least in this game, their full complement of players on defense. Everybody that's been kind of banged up was back and playing, including Clowney, including Kareem. They had everybody who's supposed to be on that defense was there. And I think you see a notable difference when everybody's there.
And I'll say this, that offensive line has been much better. And Xavier Suofilo has actually looked like a football player. And that's helped because they've solidified it. It's the same five guys the last few weeks. And they're blocking well. They're giving Hoyer time. And they're still not as many holes in the running game as you'd like to see, but they put up 167 yards, so I can't really complain.
But anybody who thought that, you know, we were going to be talking about who's going to replace Bill O'Brien, should Bill O'Brien be fired, to me, that's out the window. I mean, with what they – just his four games. If they lose out, he's at least shown that he can get this team, you know, get it together.
Yeah, they're not going to lose out.
No, they're not going to lose out. I still say if they miss the playoffs, there should be conversations about Rick Smith.
Yes.
But I think Bill O'Brien is pretty safe right now.
And if they miss the playoffs, it's going to be that home loss to the Colts. That's going to keep them out. All right, we'll take your phone calls when we come back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. John, I need a ruling. I think we need to ban somebody from Facebook.
Uh-oh.
You might take a look at the Facebook page.
Uh-oh, what happened?
It's the same guy who says the same thing. Says, suck it, four in a row, you douchebags. That's all he's ever got. I don't mind saying, hey, you were wrong about this.
What did I just say? I said they deserve credit.
I know. But this is the same guy that does it every week.
I don't understand.
I'm not gonna glorify him by telling you his name.
Well, maybe you should.
No, I think we should delete and ban him.
That's fine with me. I don't care.
It's up to John.
I don't even look at the Facebook.
John's the boss.
It doesn't bother me.
Let's grab a phone call. Lou, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports.
Hey, sports.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that this is the first time where Clowney passed the eye test. I mean, he looked impressive out in coverage in the flats, getting pressure on the quarterback, just finishing off, tackles and really getting some hard hits in there. I'll listen. Thanks.
I mean, it was a listen. I thought that he looked good. I don't want to know that. I don't want to say that it's the first time he's passed the eye test because I've seen him have good games before.
He's looked flashy at times. Yeah,
but that was definitely a good showing for him.
It was, and he's getting healthy. And early on in the season, he was still a rookie basically because he didn't play at all last year. So I think that's helped. They found ways to use him and Merciless on the field at the same time, which has also helped. I've noticed they've used him a lot at defensive end with Merciless outside of him. And I think it's made him more effective. And it's really helped. They're getting pressure on the quarterback. They're making guys nervous. And the secondary's playing well enough. 713-780-ESPN. Let us try Eddie. Eddie, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports, Eddie.
Hey, I'm talking about the Saints and their predictability. Man, it's every week.
they do the same kind of predictable plays like the screen passes. I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, I'm glad you guys brought it up, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I've seen, this is probably the third or fourth time that I've seen the Saints play this year, and I've yet to, it's nothing like the old Saints. It's nothing like them. So it doesn't surprise me that their record is what it is and they've had the season that they've had. And really, two of the games that I saw, they looked pretty good, but it still wasn't the same thing. That's not how they were winning. They weren't winning by, you know, chucking around for 500 yards.
When they were at their best, they were running the ball very well in addition to Breeze being able to throw the ball, and that enabled them to do play action. I think they're missing some of the receivers they used to have. And Colson's not the same player as he was even a couple of years ago. I still think they missed Darren Sproles because that was a guy who was explosive for him. And I know it's been a couple of years, but the offense hasn't been the same for a couple of years. And I know they thought C.J. Spiller was going to be that guy. Hasn't really worked out.
You know, he's useless.
Brandon Cooks is explosive, but he hasn't quite been what they hoped for. And the offensive line hasn't been very good. I mean, you throw all that together, it's kind of hard to be successful. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, we'd be happy to take some phone calls on that game. Man, there's so much other stuff to get to. We'll get to all the NFL at 5 o'clock, including the games from Thursday that might be a little bit in the rearview mirror now, but we'll hit on them anyway because we haven't had a chance to talk about them.
I got to John, tell me what this means. John posted a video. John, are you going to do this video thing every day? What are we doing?
Maybe not every day, but a couple times a week.
Okay.
Somebody call you fat?
No. Lint DZ, you tell me what this means. AJ, your voice doesn't match your damn body. You sound like a skinny white dude that always says stuff like douchebag, mushroom stamp, prairie dogging, and other hip frat boy stuff.
I don't think I've
what
ever...
What does that mean about me?
Well,
voice doesn't match your look, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, but I sound like a skinny white boy that says... That says douchebag and mushroom stamp?
I don't think I've ever heard you use the term mushroom stamp.
No.
Douchebag I've heard.
Okay. I don't go with prairie dogging either.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
No.
Is that a hip frat boy thing?
I guess so.
I don't know anything about frats.
Oh, it was when they put my tweet on Deadspin where the guy said that I'm the bro that never grew up or whatever it is. That's me. So maybe I am. Maybe that's what I sound like. I sound like a bro that just never got it together.
Oh, well. Seem to be doing okay, though. What? So you already did that video, John?
Yeah.
You just came in here and took? Wow.
Yep. It was easy. We were talking about doing it with a camera and whatnot, but it takes too long to upload, so I just decided to do it with an iPhone.
Okay. Well, there you go. We now have a video on Twitter and... Something new other than people rushing the field.
Yeah.
Which.
Did that piss people off that you posted that or what?
I don't know. I think it got mixed on the comments. It got mixed, but mostly pro rush because they won their side of the division.
Oh, yeah. They were ripping the hell out of us on Coug fans for that.
Yeah, I don't know. You could see it coming because I was there. You could see it coming because the security guards all started coming onto the field, and they didn't stop anyone. All they did was they circled the teams and they kind of led the teams away into the tunnels.
You know
what fascinates me that anyone is pro rush the field.
Well, I get a lot of the students have never actually they've never seen them win anything, so. My big thing with it is safety. I think it's dumb because somebody's going to get hurt one of these days, a player or a coach or somebody like that, or somebody's going to do something stupid and start a fight. You know, you get a bunch of drunk idiots.
How about take an example, the TCU Baylor game?
Yeah.
Where TCU fan is out there grabbing and touching Art Briles.
Yeah,
that's a bad look,
and
it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I know, but that's my objection to it. Are those kind of situations. But if you've got the students out there and security's keeping them away from the players and I mean, that's not as bad as long as you're protecting those guys on the field. And that does look like what they were doing, but I'm still, I'm against it. And maybe it's because I'm an old man, but I just think it's dumb and I think it's dangerous. And
I don't think there's any reason to rush the field. First of all, remember that if most of these teams are playing, like TCU, Baylor, I think UH, Navy, you're playing against essentially a peer, okay? Like someone who's kind of on your level, and that's not when you rush the field. I don't think ever rushing the field is a good idea, but if Vandy beat Alabama and rushed the field, I'd go, okay.
Yeah.
That makes some sense. I mean, Baylor and TCU are...
They play every year.
They play every year, and they're fighting for the same... I mean, they're both top 10 teams. I mean, it's supposed to be big boy football. You can't act like you just won a national championship when you win a regular season game. You just can't if you want to be taken seriously as a football program. And I mean, the UH thing, I guess they wrapped up their division, but that's not even like a conference championship.
It's a West Division championship.
Yeah, if we're going to allow field rushing, we need to really up the bar for when it's allowed. And I feel like people are just looking for a reason to, and it's so stupid.
And that's the thing. I think people are they just want to get out there.
And I promise you, the athletes don't want you out there. You're not part of the team. They don't like it. They don't like you going up and slapping them on the shoulder pads and saying good game. They want to celebrate with the guys that they're playing with. They don't like it. I promise.
269 said, injured our star basketball player's knee in the state semifinals by rushing. If you do it more than once and haven't learned, you're an idiot. Jong, did you rush Saturday? Were you one of them?
No, I was the one in the stands taking the photos. I could see it coming because as soon as the time was ticking down, you could see, especially in the student section, where people were coming down to where the first row was, and they were kind of getting squished. It kind of looked like a nightclub towards the bottom of the 100 section where the students were. And once the clock hit zero, everyone just started pouring onto the field.
If you wouldn't have been with your girlfriend, would you have rushed the field?
No, but we talked about this before.
You've done it before.
But
now you know it's
college.
Stupid, right?
And I tweaked my hammy when I did that.
But you know it's stupid now.
Yeah,
right?
And it's not like it's a short drop from the stands into the field. It's a good 8 to 10 feet drop.
This is essentially guys trying to feel like they're a part of something that they're not, is what it is. You're trying to live vicariously through football players. You want the football players to high-five you. It's pathetic. It really is.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN. Idiot Facebooker tells me to quit being so sensitive. So you call us douchebags and tell us to suck it, and that's okay. You're probably one of the idiots who rushed the field. It's too bad you didn't break your leg. Let's try a phone call. Junior, what's up? You're on the Blitz. Go, man.
Hey, sports guy.
Sports to you.
Two quick questions. If you're Gary Kubiak, do you have the stones to start Peyton Manning as soon as he's healthy? And another one, Lynch, do you sit him down and continue to, you know, start Ross, noticing how well he's playing?
No, well, at least on the second one, Marshawn Lynch is their guy. He's the best player on their offense, and he has been for years and years. That's their guy. Rawls has done a good job, but Rawls, even at his best, is not as good as Marshawn Lynch. So I think they have to go with Marshawn Lynch. As far as is Manning Osweiler, I don't know. I think when Peyton comes back, the leash is going to be short. You know,
everything I've seen today indicates that he's not getting back on the field as long as Osweiler's protecting the football. So now I don't know, but I read several stories about it, and I know Peter King had some things on it, but it looks like he's not coming back, and he may have taken his last snap unless Osweiler gets hurt.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Jess says, college students at Russia Field are invested in the football team. They go to class with the players, party with the players, have genuine relationships with some of the players. It makes sense that they'd want to celebrate with their friends. Way more bad can come from rushing the field than good, though.
Just because you have relationships with these guys doesn't mean you rush the field. I mean, when I was in Austin, I had relationships with a lot of the players there. Never did I feel like I needed to go celebrate with the team when they won. That's different. I mean, just because you go to class with someone doesn't mean that
you can't party with
they're going to show up at your kid's birthday party.
But you can't party with them at the bar afterwards?
Typically, no.
You can do that.
I mean, I guess you could. But if you want to go out, yeah, if they're like going out somewhere and you see them out afterwards.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, say hey, high five them. On the field is not the time. That's a time for the team to celebrate the team's accomplishment. That's not a time for everybody to be involved. It's just not. And I understand that you feel involved. I get it. But you're just not.
Well, I get it with kids. It's the adults that do it that I got no sympathy.
Dude, if you're
for.
Over – well, the reality is, though, Fred, almost everybody who's doing it is over 21 because most of them are drunk to do it. But, I mean, if you're over 21, you shouldn't be doing it. You should have better sense. I don't know. I'm firmly against that, but I understand that there's some people that I'm never going to talk off of that.
No, and they're going to do it. And I just hope that it never gets really ugly. And I know there have been a lot of instances where it's come close, and that's what worries me. I think the first time a player or coach gets hurt or somebody comes up and sucker punches them.
Well, it's not going to be the first time because it's happened before.
I guess so.
It's just when it's, you know, eventually these schools need to just say, listen, we're going to take you to jail. We're going to arrest as many of you as we can.
Well, a lot of people are saying the security folks were actually helping them.
Well, that's dumb. If that happened, that's dumb. I mean, I wasn't there, so I can't tell you. If that happened, that's dumb. That's unacceptable.
Kind of lost in all this. Can I just brag on something for a second? Did I not say UH was going to beat the crap out of them?
You did.
Last week? I said it all week long.
You did.
And I violated one of my rules when I saw +5 on Friday morning.
Was it +5?
It was +5. I was like, okay, thank you. Appreciate
that's
that.
Surprising.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately I lost most of it on the damn CFL game yesterday.
That happens.
It was 1.5 point. And the killer was a dude missed a field goal. And, you know, if you miss a field goal there and they don't run it out, you get a point.
Right.
Well, he hits the upright. So nothing. Dead ball. So I get that 1 point. Or just make the damn field goal.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. 713-780-ESPN. Also kind of lost the fact that that was a hell of a win for UH. And obviously, Tom Herman's name coming up everywhere again.
I will say it's good news. And when I heard initially that Tom Herman had re-signed at UH, I said, because that came right after the rumors that Georgia had offered him the job. And I was with you. You know, there were a lot of jobs out there that if they opened up, I would have said thanks, but no thanks,
yeah.
Including Missouri, South Carolina,
yep.
Virginia Tech, which got taken by one of Tom Herman's peers.
That's a good get for Virginia Tech, by the way.
It is a good get for them. If I were Tom Herman, I would have said no to Miami. But Georgia and USC were the two jobs that were available that I feel like if you're offered those jobs, you take them because those are top 10 jobs. And there's so many times in your career that you're going to be offered a job like that, you got to take it. But then, so I thought at first, I was like, what is Tom Herman doing? What a dumb move. But then it turns out that was never the case, that Georgia did not offer Tom Herman.
Well, no, and it's funny because Lamont sent me a message about this earlier that I guess somebody ran with it as, a, you know, according to a report. And it was a tweet from somebody with less than 200 followers saying he'd agree. And this is one of those things, and I know I harp on it too much about how irresponsible we are with, especially with Twitter and with. And last week, somebody sent us a story saying he'd accepted the job at South Carolina from a South Carolina fan site. And it's kind of like, okay, guys, come on.
Well, that's why I said if he was offered the Georgia job, I think he made a mistake. Turns out he was not offered the Georgia job.
No, from what I understand, Kirby Smart's been
right. He's their top choice.
Yeah, and has been
so
since they got rid of Richt.
I've been saying this. If the Georgia job and the USC job, well, and I said Georgia, assuming that this was going to happen, which I said several weeks ago, I thought this was going to happen, and the LSU job, which what a S show that is.
Wow.
I mean, So LSU's job is not open.
So basically decide in the third quarter to keep Les Miles?
After they tweeted out, like, thanks for everything, Les. Very strange. And that relationship has to be so strained and awkward now. But unless one of those three jobs were offered to Tom Herman, I think that it's in his best interest to stay here, because this team, at least on paper, should be as good as this year. And if he has 2 years of this under his belt, the right job will come along.
Well,
and if those jobs, LSU didn't open.
It might be next year.
Yeah.
It might open next year.
Texas might be open next
year. And that's the thing. And I've been saying that all along, that, you know, if they're going to pay him that much money, get another year under your belt.
Yeah.
And those jobs are going to be open every year. It's a matter of, okay, what's the right job?
The right one?
I think Georgia would have been a great fit for him.
But I think Kirby Smart's a better fit at Georgia.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I'll say this. If USC didn't place a phone call to Tom Herman, they're idiots. Because them making that guy the full-time guy, and I know that's your boy because he's a UH coup.
He is, former UH quarterback. And
let's be serious.
I've met him a few times, and I like him, but boy, that's an awful big job.
Let's be serious. That guy was the offensive coordinator for a team that had as much offensive talent as anyone in the country and did damn near nothing with it. So that's a strange hire to me. But USC, since Pete Carroll left, what have they done except make really just head-scratching decisions about who should be the head coach?
I never liked Lane Kiffin. I thought Sarkisian, I thought it was interesting when they hired him, because I thought Washington got the better coach.
I did too.
And, of course, turns out that he's got all kinds of alcohol problems on top of everything else.
Right.
But, and I don't know if you could see that coming, but okay.
But at the end of the day, Washington did get the better head coach.
Yeah. Well, it worked out. All right. Quick break. A lot more to get to. We'll grab some more phone calls.
But my point was, if he's not offered one of those jobs, it's best to stay here. I think he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, and honestly, if they win this week, beat Temple, get a Fiesta Bowl or Peach Bowl, whichever one, get a nice high-profile opponent who probably isn't going to care about being there.
Your name's even hotter than it was, you know, right now. So. It's way better than taking and Fuente taking Virginia Tech, maybe a little bit different. I mean, maybe he thinks that's a good job. I don't think he's quite the hot name that Herman is. But Virginia Tech's not a crappy job. It's not a great job, not a crappy job.
You know, there is less guesswork with Fuente than there is with Herman, because he's only had the 1 year, and he inherited a pretty damn good group, too.
But I'll say this, if there's no point in Tom Herman looking at South Carolina or Mizzou or Iowa State, those that doesn't make sense.
No, and I thought Iowa State made a good hire for them.
I think they did, too.
So we'll take a quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. This year's Blitz shirt commemorates the pepper spray incident and is on sale right now. Available in black or navy and in sizes for all types. You can find it at the UT Co-op store in Uptown Park, or for stress-free shopping, log on to universitycoop.com. Get yours now and get your Blitz on. And if you haven't had a chance to pick up a copy of our sports betting audiobook, please do. It's available at podcastarena.com. Low price of $12.99 and getting nothing but great reviews. So,
good deal.
Yeah, and
should get great reviews.
Yeah, did a good job with it, man. And we got some more projects coming, including one that I'm going to be working on the next couple days, and I'm very excited about, that we'll be telling the people about very soon. Let's grab a phone call. Let us try. Sean, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
How are you not doing today? I just want to let you know that the fans on the field were the doing of the university itself. They made an announcement in the game that all students, whoever wanted to get on the field, could go on the field as long as it was orderly.
Did that happen, John?
I don't know. I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear that?
Were you drunk?
No. Well, I was in line to get beer, but no, I didn't hear it.
Okay. Well. All right.
Okay.
If that's the case, then I'm not going to blame the people for going on the field. But I just think, and if they were orderly, and the only time I was there where I witnessed it was when they beat Southern Miss for the Conference USA championship, and people were not orderly.
Right.
They were really drunk. And yes, John, I didn't know you then.
Yes, I was there.
Yeah, and one of my friends actually fell like 15 feet onto the field, bumped into a guy in a wheelchair, nearly knocked him over, was going to fight the guy in the wheelchair, and then stumbled off onto the field. So, is that Glenn Davis in there? It's a sharp jacket that dude's got on.
Glenn's a well-dressed man.
I think Derek Jeter bought that for him.
Maybe
part of the gift basket.
Maybe so.
Anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. There's a lot more to get to because the college football, to me, it's all but decided who's in the playoff at this point.
Yeah, I think there's some slight, wiggle room if Bama or Clemson lose. And everyone who's, we got to have the you got to have the conference championship to be taken serious. Well, turns out Oklahoma probably pretty glad they're not playing a conference championship
because
right
that's
now.
A game they could lose.
Because there's no way for Oklahoma to not get in.
Yeah,
there isn't a way. But as far as the rest,
and then you're going to have one of the two Big Ten teams in for sure.
The Big Ten winner is going to be in,
so that'll be a play-in.
Oklahoma is in, and Alabama and Clemson are in, barring ridiculous. Can we just take Florida beating Alabama off the table?
I don't think that's even remotely possible.
If Clemson plays poorly and North Carolina plays well, they could lose. If Alabama plays poorly, they still beat Florida by 10. I mean, they are Florida's a terrible team. I have no idea how they've accomplished what they have this year. They're just not good.
They were better when they had their quarterback. The fact that they've continued to win games, part of it's because the SEC East is not very good.
The SEC East is just bad. Let's not say not very good. It's bad.
And part of it is they still play really good defense.
Yeah.
And that's why they've been able to win football games.
But they're no match
for Alabama.
They got wrecked by probably what most would consider a down Florida State team, destroyed them. Alabama is going to maul that team. They're just not. They're not on that level. Clemson, yeah. UNC. I could see something crazy happening. If that happened, I think you come down to is that win for North Carolina good enough to get them in? I think it comes down to North Carolina. I think if Stanford beats USC, they're in the conversation, even though they have two losses.
I still think Ohio State would get in.
That's the other
team, and I think Ohio State is the team that would get in.
They're the lady in wait.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
would they be more deserving than North Carolina?
Depends on if North Carolina fluke wins and it's close, then I don't think it's going to be enough. If they go in there and beat them by 21 or something, I think that might get enough attention to get them in.
So there's been a lot of discussion, and I've had some on Twitter, about the value of Stanford's Pac-12 championship if they end up winning the Pac-12. Does the conference championship outweigh Ohio State? Because Ohio State hasn't looked great really this year until the Michigan game. But you could also say Ohio State's one loss was by 3 points and a torrential downpour to a playoff team in Michigan State. So they have a loss that isn't a bad loss. They've got the best loss of any one loss team. But is that enough when you take into account the fact that Stanford won the conference championship? I know that that's part of the weight factor. Like, if you want, and I don't know how willing they're going to be to put two teams from one conference, not just that, two teams from the same division of one conference into the tournament. But then I thought about it: if Bama had beaten LSU, and LSU hadn't lost another game, LSU would still be in that conversation, right?
Yeah.
Like, LSU would be in the conversation. Probably they'd be up there with Oklahoma. And if Michigan State won the Big Ten, there'd be a discussion about that too. I think that just the way it's looked at, the Big Ten is looked at, I don't know if it's going to be enough for Ohio State. Because like I said, they've really looked good one time this year. Just happened to be the last game of the season.
It's hard for me to make a compelling case for Stanford, though. Even if you just say, okay, we're going to throw out the first loss because it was the first game of the season, it's still hard for me to say, okay, two wins and you beat USC. Is that really that impressive? And I don't know.
I think I'm with you. I would think at Ohio State, really, I think they should give a good look at North Carolina.
Yeah, I think that's the one. But again, I think it depends on it because their body of work, they don't really have any good wins. So to me, if they were to beat Clemson and beat them handily, that would be a better case.
It always seems to work itself out, but I think Stanford losing to Oregon is really in the end what's going to end up haunting them, or the Northwestern loss, whichever way you want to slice it up. But I think having two losses, what would have been crazy is if Stanford just had one loss, what would have been interesting to see is who would have been left out.
Might have been Oklahoma.
It probably would have been Oklahoma.
Because that's a pretty
Or
bad...
it might have been the Big Ten champ.
Maybe. I guess it depends on how that game plays out, too. I don't know that you'd leave out an undefeated Iowa, but...
But would you leave out... I mean, if you look at Stanford, and Stanford would have had two wins at USC, a win over Oregon, a win over Notre Dame, that's better than what Iowa's done this year, by far.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't have to worry about it because, like you said, it seems like everybody's kind of played into their slots. And if Clemson and Bama, you know, hold serve, then there's not even a discussion over which four teams get in.
And that's the thing. If we're arguing over Ohio State or Stanford for the four spot, I don't think it really matters.
It doesn't. And that's why I say everybody wants eight. The reality is, I mean, those teams played themselves out. We're not – there's teams who want to get in, but there's not a team who's definitely deserving to get into that four that's not going to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just got off work. Is there a way to hear the entire show from the beginning? Online, please advise. Yes. Podcastarena.com. So for the guy who keeps asking, why aren't you talking about the Texans? Why aren't you talking about this other stuff? Go back and listen.
About everything. It's a Monday. We're busy.
It's a Monday. We got a lot to catch up on. Been gone for 4 days. And, there's an entire segment on the Texans at podcastarena.com. Just go check it out.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about my man, attorney Gary Trichter. Law enforcement, they're stepping up efforts with these no-refusal weekends. And plenty more of them are coming, my friends. Believe me, they can force you to take a blood test. So if your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest or your holiday sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed the breath or blood test the police gave you. Those tests, they're inaccurate. They're unreliable. Police breath test machines, they're not even warranted fit for breath testing on humans. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results, and then they destroy the evidence that it checks, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. You know, there's a lot of inaccuracies about police blood testing. They're not testing your blood. They're testing the air above it. Failing these tests, it's not the end of the world. The juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with these machines. And that's where attorney Gary Trichter comes into play. He's a DWI specialist here in Houston, experienced in telling the truth about these tests to juries. He's also one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. So if you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010 or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.